How can I overcome loneliness? In my sixth form at school, there was one girl that stood out, Joy Lovely. While my friends and I were into scooters and beer, Joy was into Jesus in a big way. She tried to convert me and my friends on numerous occasions, apparently without success. But when I became a Christian at university, I met with her once or twice when she still lived in Lowestoft before she was married, and I thanked her for her prayers and her persistence. But Joy also played a role in the life of Terry Waite, the hostage negotiator. He was the Archbishop of Canterbury's special envoy, and in the 1980s he became famous as he successfully negotiated the release of several hostages in Iran. And then in 1984, he was successful in releasing some British hostages in Libya under Colonel Gaddafi. In 85, he began to have a ministry in Lebanon, and he was influential in the release of a number of American hostages held in Beirut. However, his use of an American helicopter to travel between Cyprus and Lebanon and his appearance in public with Oliver North meant that he was compromised when the Irangate scandal broke. And against advice, Terry Waite felt a need to demonstrate his continuing trust and integrity and his commitment to the remaining hostages. So in January 1987, with the intention of negotiating with the Islamic Jihad, who was still holding a number of American hostages, he went back to Beirut. On the 20th of January, he agreed to meet with the captors of the hostages who promised safe conduct, who he was told were ill. The group broke trust with him, and he was taken hostage himself. And for 1,763 days, Terry Waite was held in solitary confinement. In 1991, after nearly 5 years captivity, he was finally released. And in his biography, Taken on Trust, Terry Waite describes the experience of the intense loneliness he encountered. And while in captivity, he described the euphoria he experienced when he received a postcard. He received one piece of mail in 5 years, and it was this postcard of John Bunyan in prison in Bedford Jail. And Terry, in his biography, tells how he wrote an imaginary letter back to John Bunyan. He said, "I will never forget the day when you impinged in my life in rather dramatic fashion. I'd been kept in solitary confinement. I was not allowed to have any news whatsoever from the outside. I didn't have anything to read. The only words I uttered were to the other human being who was my guard, who brought me 3 meals a day. One day he came into my cell and handed me something. I couldn't see what it was until he left the room and I removed my blindfold. It was a postcard with a simple message of encouragement from someone I didn't know. I turned the card over and it showed you in prison, sitting at a desk with a pen in your hand, gazing across the city of Bedford." He said, "I remember thinking, Bunyan, you're a lucky fellow. You have a pen and paper, you have your own clothes, and you can see outside your cell." The postcard was simply addressed to Terry Waite, Hezbollah, Beirut. And it was sent by my friend, Joy Lovely. Never underestimate the power of a postcard, even on holiday. Mother Teresa said, "The biggest disease today isn't leprosy or cancer, it's the feeling of being uncared for, unwanted, of being deserted and alone." She went on to say, "The spiritual poverty of the Western world is much greater than the physical poverty of our people. You in the West," she said, "have millions of people who suffer terrible loneliness and emptiness." Can you be wealthy and lonely? We'll ask Howard Hughes. Can you be popular and lonely? Ask Michael Jackson. Can you be beautiful and lonely? Ask Marilyn Monroe. Can you be married and lonely? Well, you do not have to be alone or single to be lonely. You can feel lonely in a crowd, lonely in a club, lonely in a concert, and sadly, even lonely in a church. We all experience loneliness at some time or another. But what causes loneliness? What causes loneliness? Well, there are at least four causes of loneliness and four cures for it. And I'd like to invite you to turn with me to 2 Timothy 4 so that we can discover what they are. And there should be a sermon outline that you received when you came in. Paul is in Rome in prison, probably the Marmatime. It is his second or third time in prison. Under Nero, his future looks bleak. In contrast to his first imprisonment, when he was under house arrest in a rented home, Acts 28:30, on this occasion, he is languishing in a cold dungeon, chained like a common criminal. His friends are even having a hard time finding where he is. Paul is lonely. And in these verses of the last part of what was probably the last letter he ever wrote, at least that we have an extant copy of, he describes his loneliness and four reasons for it. First of all, there is loneliness from transitions in life. Growing older is a series of changes, and any change can produce loneliness. Moving school can be lonely. Moving home can be lonely. Emigrating to a new country and encountering another culture, like we have here in Britain, can be very lonely. Starting at university or military service can be very lonely. Finding a new job can be lonely. Redundancy, retirement, divorce, separation, bereavement are all potentially very, very lonely. For me, gradually losing my sight, gradually losing my hearing or mobility can lead to loneliness. The death of a loved one is clearly very lonely. Some of you have moved recently. You've moved culture. You're starting life in a new home with new neighbors. Your children are about to negotiate new schools. The combination can be very stressful. To Timothy, probably the last letter Paul wrote, he describes the final transition of his life. Writing from prison, Paul asked Timothy to come and visit him. He says, "I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near." Transitions are hard, especially when they are terminal and when you know that they are terminal. But any new experience we have can cause loneliness, which is why as a church we need to be especially sensitive to those who are sick, those who are elderly, those who are bereaved, those who are moving into our community from another country. I was talking to a lady present yesterday or the day before about her experience of moving to another country and the struggle she faced moving to another country in Europe and the welcome she received in that church and how a dramatic impact that made in her life. That's why the gift of hospitality is so important, why our meals are so important. Don't see them as optional. See them as essential, as a way of building up our family here. The first cause of loneliness, transitions of life. Second cause of loneliness, separation. Being separated from family or friends can cause deep, deep loneliness. Solitary confinement, as Terry Waite endured, is the most devastating form of punishment. Paul writes to Timothy, "Do your best to come to me quickly." Do you see the emotion in that last word, quickly? Please, I need you. In the next few verses, Paul mentions his best friends, but none of them are with him except one, Luke. Today, you can pick up the phone, you can call someone, you can email them, you can Skype them, fax them, text them, you can even video conference with them. We think nothing of traveling on a plane thousands of miles to meet a friend, attend a wedding, take a holiday, conclude a business deal. But in those days, Paul couldn't do any of them. Paul is lonely because he is separated from his friends. Twice in this passage, verse 9, verse 13, Paul says to Timothy, "Come." And then in verse 21, he says, "Do your best to come before winter." Do you see the anxiety, the burden he's faced? It's going to be cold in that prison. "I really want to see you, Timothy. Please come and see me one more time." Think about it. This afternoon, it's raining. When I was a kid, we didn't have a television, and my mother would say on a wet Sunday afternoon, "Let's write a letter." And I would be forced to write a letter to one of my relatives. Who do you need to call this afternoon? Who do you need to write a letter to appreciate? Do it now. Do it today while there is still time. help relieve someone else's sense of loneliness, of separation. A third cause is mentioned here, transitions of life, separation. Thirdly, opposition. Verse 14, Alexander the metal worker did me great deal of harm. In other words, Paul is saying, not only am I getting old, not only am I sitting in prison, not only am I likely to die, but I'm also being persecuted. We don't know what Alexander was doing. Maybe he was slandering Paul's name, attacking his reputation, undermining his work in the local church. Maybe he was turning people against Paul. The Greek word for harm literally means to oppose or resist. And to be vigorously opposed creates a truly lonely experience. It's lonely to feel misunderstood, to be embarrassed, to be humiliated. That's why Jesus said, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." Well, our reward might and will be great in heaven, but it doesn't always take away the sense of loneliness. The temptation, when it happens, is to draw into your shell, put up the walls, lock the doors. But that simply makes us lonelier. Three reasons: transitions of life, separation, opposition. Fourthly, and finally, a fourth reason Paul gives us is rejection. This is the kind of loneliness that causes us the most pain. It's the loneliness of rejection. It's when you feel as though you've been betrayed or forsaken in your time of need by those closest to you. Something Ro and Rita have experienced in their families when they became Christians. Maybe that's true for you as well. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. There's a long list of his friends at the end of this letter, and he extols them. He commends them. But where were they on the day of his trial? Nobody spoke up for Paul at his defense. Rejection is one of the hardest things we have to handle, whether you're a child in a playground, a teenager at a party, a spouse in a marriage. That's why divorce is so painful and why God hates it. It's an act of abandoning and forsaking, and it's very painful. And you, if you've been there, you know what it feels like. That's why God has created us for communion, for fellowship, for friendship, and that's why we need to love. Some people will turn to work to deal with loneliness, but that takes its toll. Others try materialism. They buy everything in sight. They think, I will improve the quality of my life and I'll be happy. But things don't satisfy us for long. The fact is, you cannot buy happiness. Some people try extramarital affairs. Others try alcohol or drugs. Still others lose themselves in the fantasy world of novels or internet games or watching TV. These are poor substitutes, and they take us further and further away from God's will. So four reasons for loneliness: transitions, separation, opposition, rejection. But Paul gives us four ways to combat loneliness as well. How does Paul combat this loneliness? Four ways, just as appropriate today. Utilize, minimize, recognize, and empathize. Four ways to combat loneliness. First of all, utilize your time. The first way to combat loneliness is to use your time wisely. Someone said, if life gives you a lemon, make lemonade. In other words, make the best of a bad situation. Resist the temptation to do nothing. Loneliness has a tendency to paralyze you. You sit around and do nothing and complain. Lonely people don't take care of themselves. They don't eat properly. They don't exercise. They ignore their personal needs. Sometimes they even smell. Paul resists that temptation. He wrote, when you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. He wasn't going to sit around and mope. Instead, he said, if I'm going to be forced to sit in prison, I'm going to use my time wisely. If I can't visit the churches, I'm going to write to them. I'm going to make the best of my situation. God can use loneliness for good. Many of Paul's most important letters, humanly speaking, would not have been written if he hadn't been in prison. what the churches he planted missed in personal pastoral oversight. Thousands and thousands of churches have been blessed around the world throughout history because of his prison experience. So, if you are lonely, utilize your time. Secondly, if you are lonely, minimize your pain. Minimize your pain. Don't exaggerate it. Don't rehearse it over and over again. I'm so lonely, I'm so lonely. Don't allow the loneliness to make you bitter. Paul said, at my first offense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. Paul demonstrated that he even forgave his friends who were too intimidated to stand with him at his trial. Resentful people, always complaining, cynical, are not pleasant to be around. Paul wanted to be a better person, not a bitter person. How can you overcome loneliness? Utilize your time, minimize the pain. Thirdly, recognize God's presence. He says in verse 17, "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength." When Paul was physically alone, when he was acutely lonely, God made his presence felt and gave Paul stamina. Where is God when you are lonely? Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans." God the Father says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." There is no place on earth where God is not present. As long as you understand that, you are never really alone. Prayer is a great comfort in lonely times. Talk to him. Listen to him in prayer and in his word. If you want to minimize loneliness, utilize your time, minimize your pain, recognize God's presence, and finally, empathize with others. Empathize with others. Paul says, "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it." Paul was lonely. He was at the end of his life, and yet he did not forget his life goal. His mission was to win people to Christ, build them in the faith, and send them to do the same. And he was going to do that wherever he was, as long as he had breath. His prayers, his thoughts, his intention was to plant churches and build them up. And in the last few verses of this beautiful letter, Paul's concerns are with those he was serving with. He concludes his letter with the words, "The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all." Grace be with you. If you're feeling lonely this morning, instead of focusing inwardly on yourself, focus on the needs of others. Look outwardly to the needs of others, and God's grace will indeed be with you. When Corrie ten Boom was a young woman in the Netherlands, she fell head over heels in love with a young man, but he broke off the relationship and he married one of her good friends. Corrie was devastated. Nothing hurts more than being rejected. And when Corrie got home, her father said some very wise words. He said, "Corrie, your love has been blocked and he's married someone else. There are two things you can do with blocked love. You can dam it up inside and hold it inside and it will eat you up. Or you can rechannel it to someone else or something else. Focus on other people's needs." Corrie chose to do the latter, and her story of selfless love, of sacrifice under Nazi occupation and imprisonment, are told in her book, The Hiding Place. Instead of building walls, we need to build bridges. We need to stop complaining, "God, I'm so lonely," and start saying, "God, help me to be a friend to someone lonely today." Instead of waiting to be loved, take the initiative. Last summer, I was in Beirut, in a church not far from where Terry Waite was imprisoned. And in that church was a beautiful painting of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus being betrayed. And both pictures were shot through with numerous bullet holes. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, knows what it feels like to be lonely. Because in his darkest hour, in the Garden of Gethsemane, while he prayed earnestly, his friends were asleep. And when the soldiers came to arrest him, his friends deserted him. When he was put on trial, his closest friend denied him. But on the cross, when Jesus carried the sins of the world Even his father turned his face away from him. My God, why have you forsaken me? Yes, Jesus understands your loneliness. But in his last few moments of life, before he died, Jesus said, "It is finished. It is paid. The price of our separation, the price of our sin has been paid." In the example of Paul, we've seen today not only the common causes of loneliness, we've discovered four practical steps we can take today to overcome it. Utilize your time, minimize your pain, recognize God's presence, and empathize with others. Let Christ help you conquer your loneliness as you turn to him in prayer and as you reach out in love. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word and the way in which it so practically meets our needs, answers our questions. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in the cross you died to take away our sin, take away the ultimate loneliness, the separation from God that apart from you will last for eternity. Thank you for dying for our sins. Thank you that you promise that by your Holy Spirit you will be with us forever. In those times that we feel lonely, help us to remember the example of Paul, the example of the saints through history, the examples of our contemporaries who have gone on before us, who've suffered far more loneliness and pain than we have. May we draw strength from their example, but above all, strength from your word. And may in our loneliness we find comfort and strength from you to help others, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.